guys warm? Do you feel warm? We turned them on at 6:10 after 6, and it's already pretty warm. I think it is pretty warm, man. I'm dying, so I hope you're okay. Because I'm sacrificing it for you. No, I was standing there. It's okay. I'm standing there, and something. That's okay. Leave it on. Sorry. No, it's okay. I want you to catch this because this is powerful. The same word. How hard is it to breathe? I want you to think about this. Are you having a hard time breathing right now? Breathing is not something. How many of you guys stop every moment and say, I need to breathe? Just when you're underwater. No, you stop to say, wait, start breathing again. That's kind of foolish, isn't it? Do you understand something? I want you to hear this. God made it. You know the two words that are the same words that God uses for breathing is spirit. Rahu. It's breathing. God says this isn't hard. This is as easy as breathing. We make everything so hard because of what is in front of us. A demonstration that I'm going to show you guys Saturday night about walking with God and about how that sometimes what happens is we're delayed from so many things because we stop breathing, we stop experiencing God. Even today, when I'm at work and I'm doing my thing, you get caught up sometimes and you forget to experience God. And God created me. Kelly, listen, do you know that? Listen, He created me. He created Adam. He created Adam to say, Adam, listen, I want one thing for you to do more than anything else. Walk with me. I made you that you would walk with me. That I would walk with you. And you know, I can't imagine how God felt when he in the cool of the night, and it says that we would walk with God in the cool of the night every single night. But this one night, Adam wasn't there to walk with. The design of this man was more than dominating the earth with all these different things. It was to walk with God. That's it. Just to have this relationship with God, that we walk with God, and you keep walking. Tell someone, keep walking. Keep walking. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. Kelly gave a scripture. He says that the goodness and mercy of God will follow me. Do you know, I want you to hear something. I want you to know the Word of God gets behind you. So I want you to hear this. Do you know why? Listen, sometimes we're to follow the Word in the sense of Christ, that image and likeness of Christ, whatever. But literally, that the Word of God gets behind us. This is the Word of God. When the Word of God's behind, listen, if it's in front of me, it can lose me. I get delayed. But if the Word of God is behind me, St. Kelly, see what I'm saying? Leading me and guiding me. But that's what God does. But this is easier than what we sometimes we make it. But just this walk with God, just talking with Him. Just, you know, someone says, and I understand sometimes, struggling with prayer or praying, you know, come on. I mean, don't raise your hands, but sometimes you might say, I don't know exactly like what to say or how to say. Just read the Scripture. Just read Psalms 91. Just read Psalms 23. That walk through the valley of shadow of death, or the Lord is my shepherd, like Kelly read. Just read it to God. And then as you're reading it, Watch the fire begin to burn in your belly. Hallelujah. Because you begin to, listen, you begin to declare to God what He said. You tell God, this isn't my words. So many times we pray to God, and it's okay. I want everybody to understand something. Some people say, well, you shouldn't. Listen, I go to my Father sometimes, and it's not like stay in a place of complaint. Don't hear me. But there's sometimes, there's some places that I work some things out with God. He listens. Sometimes He waits for me to get done. And then I magnify God. Do you know when we magnify God, it's not God getting bitter, it's bigger. It's my perspective of God getting bigger. He can't get any bigger. He's big. So let me jump into this. I got to get into this real quick. Chosen for greatness. Last week we talked about this. I don't want to get into a lot of what we did because I want to share this. I think this is important for me to share these scriptures to you really quick. Before I formed you, the Bible says in Ephesians, it says, before the Creator formed you, He knew you. We know that. Amen. We know that God formed me before He formed me. Say, before He formed me. Man, that's a sermon. I just can't get away from that thought. I've been thinking about that since the morning this morning. We should only let God form us. Because the Bible says that God knew me before I was formed. And sometimes what happens is we get formed by so many things around us. We conform. So, I'm going to read the scripture about Jesus. I love Jesus. He says, listen, Jesus, so supper ended in the devil having now put into the heart of Judas, Simon, to betray Jesus. That's a bad situation. I mean, this is his best friend. This is that. You know, it's a moment where that you're like, are you kidding me? You know, you're about ready to go to the cross to die for this guy. You know what I'm saying? And he betrayed you. The pain that you were going to experience because of this man, what he did. Okay? So it says, Jesus knowing. Can you say knowing?
Knowing.
Jesus knowing. I got a lot in me. Sometimes, you know, listen, I am not a teacher. I preach, don't get offended, women. I preach like a woman drives. Like at least my wife. That everything that she sees, oh, she'll want to pull over and look at it. She'll like want to stop at this store. When I go with my wife, she goes, oh, let's stop here. You know, a teacher is like a man that drives and says, listen, we're not even getting out. Bring a bottle. Because we're not getting out to pee. We're going straight there. They don't ask for directions. They just go. That's a teacher, okay? I'm not really a teacher because here's why. I get distracted by anything prophetically that comes across me. And I jump off rabbit trails. Because it jumps out to me and says, this is pretty awesome. Stop right here real quick. I got to run into the store and I got to look at this stuff real quick. So I didn't always get to where I want to go as quick as I want to. So as I said that, I want us to just take a look at this. So Jesus said, Jesus knowing, say knowing. Now, this is a word I think you understand that this word knowing is the same word that Adam knew Eve. You all get that, right? Raise your hand if you understand what I'm saying. He knew Eve. It wasn't just about knowing somebody like, oh, I know. No. He knew her, and because of that, he was able to produce heirs. That word means yada. Y-A-D-A, which comes from the same word as yada, which means to throw your hands up. Means to worship, okay? Means to worship. I want you to understand something, that if you know Him in a place of worship, come on, amen. That, see, your worship is a expression of you knowing Him. Trust me. You know what I mean? I can't help but worship. You're here tonight because you can't help but worship God. So there's something within you because you know Him. Come on, amen. Those who don't know Him don't always worship Him. They'll sing a song or they'll get upset because you didn't sing the right song. I don't care what song I sing. It's just to worship Him. So make up a song. You know, I do that sometimes. But so to know means to, if you know God, you will come to a place where that you will become impregnated with purpose. When you get the revelation of Jesus Christ in your life and of God, something will birth within you and it'll be purpose that God has planned for you. The revelation of the greatness of God will birth something within you that you'll give birth to it. That's what happens when you get close to God, intimate with God. I don't say that not reverently. I want you to hear that. I want you to understand something. That's a reverent, that's an intimate relationship that the bride has with the groom. Some believe theology thinks that we're not married, then I can never worship God, come into an intimate relationship with Him. If I am not in a marriage with God right now, if I'm not part of the bride of Christ, I cannot enter into worship. Because worship is intimate. Amen? Amen? So we understand that we are the bride of Christ. Amen? So we're in this relationship. So listen, are you alright? Yada. Thanks, buddy. So listen, so this is a... So he says, knowing that the Father hath given all things into His hands, and that He, I just want to can't get past this. Listen, that He knew He had all things within His hands, that He was sent with a purpose. Last week we talked about this, that He was a Word sent from heaven. He's the Word become flesh. So He's a Word from the Father, released into the earth, hallelujah, becoming flesh. He is the Word of God. Say the Word of God. He is all of this. This is called the Logos. This is all of it. This is the whole Word, the volume, all the Word. Each one of us out of Christ are what? Rhema words. Say, I'm a Rhema word. I'm a spoken word out from the Father. So, where'd it go? John 14. Here it is, right here. Wait. This is 13. And he says, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God, and that He was going to God. He knew where He came from, and He knew where He was going. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and He's the end. He's the bookend to a volume, hallelujah. He is the yes and amen, hallelujah. He is the first and the last. The Alpha is the first letter in the Greek language and alphabet, and Omega is the last. He's the A and the Z. In each one of us are letters or expressions of Him. Am I making sense? Okay, I want you to get this because I feel I might need to give a little bit of a... I thought about this sometimes. Do you know, I believe that sometimes when you know who you are, the problem is our identity. That when you come to a place with knowing that you just didn't get birth, and that was your beginning. That's not the Word of God. Because the Bible says before you were formed in your mother's womb, He knew. That means that you came from a place of an intimate place within Christ. That we were with Him from the foundation. talk about this. We're going to talk about this. And this is the scriptures in Ephesians. Come on. Let's look it up real quick. Somebody, Ephesians 1. Look that one up. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, 3 through 4. Check this out. It says, blessed be the God our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. He's blessed us. Who hath blessed us in spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In. Say in. That word in is a specific place. It is in Christ. Whether it's in place, it's a set time, it's a moment. In a particular moment, in a time, we were in Christ. So, according to as He hath chosen us in Him. So, listen real quick. Before you had a body, God gave you a body. Through your parents, you had a spirit. You didn't have a body and then a spirit. That's not scriptural. I'll give you 50 of them if you don't believe me. I'll give you 50 of them that tells you. You are not just a mistake or just the result of your parents being together. God chose your parents to bring you forth into the earth, to be the vessels. That's why sometimes people get caught up, even religions get caught up in just in Mary. And they worship Mary. Mary was chosen among many. It was God's design. He just chose her at this particular time. It wasn't a mistake. It was specifically chosen, but there wasn't anything special about her itself. It was to God, you know what I'm saying? God chose her, but it could have been anybody, but God chose her. Okay? So according to as He hath chosen us. Okay, let's go back, because I want you to see this. Sometimes we run through these scriptures and we don't get it. Because if you don't know where you came from, you're going to be afraid of where you're going. And you won't have confidence to walk in it. That's why Jesus was not afraid to go to the cross. Why? Because He knew where He came from and He knew where He was going. And He says, according to as He hath chosen us in Him. In heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. So out of Him, He's the volume of the Word. So I want you, just like you could picture every scripture being a rhema, whatever that scripture might be. For God so loved the world. That's a rhema word, that word that comes out of the volume of the Word. So each one of us, say, I'm a word from God. So you were chosen out of God. You're a letter from heaven. To be declared in the earth. Some of you are looking funny at me. I want you to see this. I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures tonight really to help you. He says, chosen in Him. When was this? When I got saved and I accepted Jesus in my life. From the foundation. Listen, before there was grass, before there was cows, before that, now he put Adam in that, okay, but he was brought forth in that. But before that, we were in Christ. That's powerful. That's big. That blows your mind. That's it. That's why it's called a mystery. But those that seek this and find it say, what? You know, the devil does not hate you when you get saved. He hates you all the time. He hated me passionately when I served God and when I didn't. Do you know why? Because I look like my Father. And He's angry about that. I'm created in His image and His likeness as a spirit. Not this way. Thank God. We think of Him as being, like us. He looks like us this way. God's a spirit. This is why it's a struggle time sometimes. Because I try to reach God from this and not my spirit. My spirit says, yeah, let's go. Calls out deeper. When I'm preaching and I say something and you say, oh, yeah, I love that. Does that happen? Okay, I hope that happens. I see it sometimes in your faces. I'm like, yeah, that's good. I didn't make it up. He said it. I just give it to you. He says, from the foundation of the world. He says that we should be holy. Listen, unless I was made from Him, I can't be holy. You're meant to be holy. Without blame before Him in love.
All right. Are you okay?
I'm going to do a timer.
It's all right. We've got a couple minutes, right? You all right? You guys need to stretch? You stretch. Because I want to give...
a lot of stuff right here that the enemy does not want you to know. There's some things that we go through that we don't understand, but here's, can I tell you something to help you out? Thought about this yesterday.
You all right?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not the real names, were put in a fiery furnace. Sometimes God lets us go through things to show the enemy, you can't touch this. I seriously believe this. I really do. To show and to teach the enemy, fire, you can't go this far. See, listen, I want you to get this. Listen, see, even with Christ on the cross and the death, and he thought he took him all the way, but he says, death, you can't go that far. He let him experience death so that he could experience the love of the Father drawing him from that grave. Here he is, go all to the edge, he's dead, and the Father awakens him with his love. Son, you didn't think I was going to leave you here, did you?
Yeah, it took a while.
That's what we would have said. 3 days. All right, no. He didn't say that. Okay. The Spirit was... So let's check this out. So we're to bring to remembrance that we're bringing to remembrance what God has said to us. From the very beginning, God spoke everything. And at the end, I want you guys to know, on the seventh day, He said, it's finished. He said everything that He wanted to say. He created, everything was done. Say it was done. In God. In Christ Jesus. It was finished. Finished. So, I'm not a victim of, I wrote this down, I'm not a victim of genetic structure. I'm spirit first. I'm not, listen, hear this. I'm not a victim. I didn't choose my parents. God chose them. I released out of me. They were vehicles for me to be released into the earth. I'm not demeaning them. But God did not need me. He chose me to deliver. Or she delivered. But to be the one to be part of my daughter to release into the earth. All right? Okay. So, we are a word chosen out of Him. And we're longing to hear what was spoken to us at the beginning. In God. But what happened is, I'm going to get into this next week, I think. But what happened is sin caused us to lose our memory. Caused us, because we fell on our head. And we lost our direction. We lost who we are. We had amnesia. So we were asleep to God. All right? Let me give you this real quick before I go to the next part. I got to, because it just came to my heart. Just another thing on the side of the road. I got to run over and get it real quick. Hang on. Let me find it.
sorry. Hang on. Give me a second. I'll find it in a second. Hang on. But let me go to 2 Peter real quick. Yeah, Kel, if you want to kill that here, I'd appreciate it. It's really hot right now. Just that one. 2 Peter 1:4, to whom? I'm sorry. 2 Peter, oh, that's 1 Peter. That's why it didn't look funny. Just give me a second to get rolling here, all right? 2 Peter 1:4. Incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who hath kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in His time, the last time, to be revealed. All right, God chose to reveal you in His time. Say His time.
His time.
So, and His time is specific, that I want you to know that you're one of the, this moment right now, where we're at right now, was a moment that no other time in history has experienced what we have right now, where we are, the things that are against us and the things that we're facing. Come on, amen. It's not always that easy. Come on. Even though we have so much in the ability to receive from God, there's so much against us. As much as there is for us, there's that much against us. Okay? Does it make sense? So Acts 17. Let me give you these couple of scriptures. And then I got to jump in. So I want to say something to you about this. Acts 17, 28. For in Him, say in Him, we live and move and have our being. Not my doing. Say not my doing. But my being. Alright? We are to have our being in Christ. In Him. In Him. So I want you to see. And anything outside of Christ, I'll never be happy. I'll never find success. I'll never find, like, in the real truth of who I am and destiny and purpose and life and a sense of foundation and surety. Like Jesus says, I know who I am. I know where I came from. Outside of Christ, I never find it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He'll express to you the truth. He will reveal Himself. I said it Saturday that Jesus comes before you. He is the truth. He presents the truth to you. You have to embrace it. Because the truth will come, and if you don't receive it, it'll walk away. It'll come back again. But it'll present itself to you whether or not you receive and move on from that thing. And we are meant to take hold of that truth and change. Truth makes me uncomfortable. It makes you uncomfortable. It makes all of us uncomfortable. Because we are in this world, but not of this world. The world can accept a lie, but me being a son, child, incorruptible seed, I cannot accept a lie. Amen? So, for in Him I live, I move, and I have my being. And certain also, but so I have my being within Him. We are meant to be witnesses to the world. To be a witness. Just be. Tell someone just be.
Just be.
See, it's easier. It's just like breathing. It's just walk with God. Just to walk with God. I really bring somebody this weekend because I really feel that this really thing is going to help us understand some things about just walking with God. It's helping me. So here. So listen to this. Let me just give you this scripture. Romans 11:6. Romans 11:6, and if, 36. For of him, say with me, and through him, let's do it again, come on, because you're not helping me. For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things. To Him be glory. Now, I want you to get this. Listen. It's not that complicated. Here's, can I explain it to you really quick? Because this is how I make sense of it. I got to make sense of things. You ready for this? In God is the universe. Everything. And in that universe is a galaxy. And in that galaxy is the earth. And in the earth is America. And in America is a state, Pennsylvania. And in Pennsylvania is a church, a city. And in that city is a church. And in that church is you. So in Him all things. So in God is the universe. And in that universe is a galaxy. And in that galaxy is the earth. And in the earth is North America. And North America is America. And in America, there's Pennsylvania. And in Pennsylvania, there's Newcastle. And in Newcastle, there's a church. And in the church, there's you. That covers everything. See, we took it out of God, and it's still in God. See, it's in God. It's there. It's in God. It doesn't leave God. Now, I can experience it. I can walk in it. I can take hold of it. Or I can deny it. But it doesn't matter. In God is the universe. Is the galaxy. Come on. Do you see what I'm saying? Doesn't matter. You can't choose to be in it. You are in it. He created it. All things. And you're part of it. And all that stuff. Ephesians 2:10. Look this up. Can you somebody look this up real quick? Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified. Yeah. And I'm going to get Psalms 8. As soon as you get it there, read it.
We are His workmanship, His own masterwork, the work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which He set. So
wait a minute. Beforehand. He's already calculated everything in. Say everything.
Everything.
He's not surprised. Good. Good.
Taking paths which He set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us.
Now this is what I want you to get this. Well, what happens? I don't always do that. Sometimes I end up walking in the flesh. Keep walking. Because when you stop, you get out of the order of what God has called you to do. Because the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. You get back up again. I got to share this. There's a man called Enoch in the Bible. Come on, amen. You know Enoch? Come on, Enoch in the Bible speaks very little of him. That says a little bit in Jude that he was a prophet, but that's just there because where it says it in Genesis doesn't say anything about him being a prophet. But here's what it says. Are you ready for this? That he was a father. He had children. He was had a wife. And he walked with God. You ready for this? And he was not. And the more I thought about this, the more I think this. He took what looked mundane. Just being a father or a husband. Just life. I want you to hear and know something. That with God, nothing's mundane. He experienced it with God. Walking with God. And he was not. He came into that place of just consumption with God. The more that you walk with God, you come to that place of knowing God, you will birth something. Come on, amen. You will birth purpose. You will birth it. And you will walk it out till, guess what? No longer are you living, but Christ. You're no longer seen anymore.
by just walking in the mundane, by the everyday, just getting up, hallelujah, serving God, walking with your heart, giving God everything you got, going, laying brick and doing your thing and going to that place, coming back and meeting with God, getting in that place, serving God, giving what you got, lifting up your hand, coming to this house, blessing God, giving. That just seems mundane, but I'm telling you, you're walking with God. And when you understand that, hallelujah, when you know that, that life isn't just, oh, it's just, no, no, it's powerful. That I got this opportunity to experience God. And when you open your eyes to that, God will begin to open you up more and more that you are no longer. And the only thing everybody sees is Jesus. So, I did not mean to preach. I want to teach. Listen. Psalms 8:4 says this, what is a man that thou art mindful of him? That's what I feel like. God, and that's the hardest thing sometimes that we have this problem with, the separation. There's no separation in the Spirit. I'm from God, I'm His. Are you guys ready for this? The Son of God, you got to write this down. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the Son of Man can become the Son of God. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the Son of Man can become the Son of God. So he says, how do I do this? He says, I consider the heavens and everything there. He says, for thou hast made us a little lower than the angels. Bad interpretation. That's not the original. The original is made us a little lower than God. He is the King of kings and Lord of. I cannot take the place of the Father. But I can be a son, King of kings and Lord of lords. There's a place in the scripture in Acts where it says that we are gods. And that disrupts people. They get angry with that. We are. I'm in His image and likeness. What does that make me? I'm not a god. Don't get me wrong. Don't go out. Oh, he's saying we're God. Ooh. I'm not saying that. That's goofy. But the Bible, do you know what? That's the heart of God. Is for God to be in the earth. An expression of Him to be related. Do you know why we don't like that? Because that makes me responsible for something I don't know if I want to. But that's the truth, and that's why people are offended. I am not God, but I am come from God to be like God. What do you call that when you're birthed out of somebody? You got the DNA of God. Daughter's not me, but she, part of me is her. There. Small g. Say small g. Don't get mad at me. So, we were in His thoughts. That's another, there's a whole area that I wanted to go over that about, but that we were in God's thoughts, that you were a thought of God. We don't have a problem thinking that a zebra was a thought of God. A freaking platypus. A beaver with a duck bill. That was a thought of God. Let me help you out. Ready for this? He says, the birds of the air are not concerned about, they trust God pretty much. You understand? They know that there's something when they're in from something, they just move in it. It's like breathing. part of something bigger. They don't stop and say, I'm not sure how I came from. Where did I? We confuse ourselves with just accepting and walking. And just sometimes I want you to get this. Sometimes you got to walk. I'm here. I am the sermon. You got to walk. You got to walk through some things so that you can know God. Come on, amen. That you walk. There's some things that I don't understand right now. But if you walk with God, come on, if you walk with God, you walk with God, all of a sudden those things before, there's some things that God, that Moses was wondering about God. And the only way that he found out was walking with God.
Amen?
All right.
Where does time go? All right. Okay, I'm not going to go there. Okay, let's go here. Well, this is my text. Finally. Isaiah. Isaiah. All right, Isaiah 55. Amen? Are you there? Say amen if you're there. Or just watch the screen. Ready? Remember I said that God thinks about you, right? Let's go with Isaiah 55:8. What's it say? Tell me what's it say real quick. For my thoughts. My goodness, you're on God's mind. Hallelujah. You're on God's mind. I well, you didn't know that, man. There's something so powerful. There's something so sacred. There's something so personal. There's something so authoritative, or I don't know what the word I could say is that when you know this, when you come to the knowing that God's thinking, He's thinking, you're a thought from God, that you think about this, that here's a thought that God had, because if you're here, you have to be a thought. Come on, amen. There's an architect. It just didn't happen. This church didn't just come together with a bunch of rocks one day and say, hey, let's build a church downtown. Is that stupid? There was an architect that designed this church that brought it all together. There's an architect of all of this that brought it together, and you're part of the architectural design to the earth. Didn't just happen. So, Isaiah, here you go. Your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. He says, for the heavens, they're higher than the earth. So are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down in snow from heaven and returneth not the same way. It doesn't return the same. But watereth the earth, it makes bring forth bud. And it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. I want you to understand, this is part of the creative design of God. The architectural design. It's built into it. Don't have to think about it. The rains don't think, okay, remind me what we're supposed to do. As they're falling from heaven, they just be. I hope this gets you. They just be. Say, just be. They don't look at another raindrop and say, hey, can you tell me what we're supposed to do? You're going to water the earth. You're just going to do it. It's just part of it. It's in the design of the makeup of it. I'm not going to worry about the design. I'm just going to walk with God. He's got everything else covered. Hallelujah. He's going to take care of the rest. Amen. I got to be in a place of confidence like a raindrop. So he uses two subjects, rain and snow. And both of those symbolize the Word of God. They symbolize God's Word. Water. He says, so
So he says this. He says, so it brings forth bud, it's seed, and the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of. He's talking about you. He ain't talking about raindrops. Although that's part of it, he's talking about you. You're a word spoken out of me, a created design sent forth, hallelujah, and that he goeth forth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in all that I sent it to do. Really quick, here you go. Ready for this? The word return. This is us being sent to the earth. Out of him, we're a word like rain sent to the earth. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay? So each one of us are a rhema word out of that, out of him, chosen out of Christ. So, us being sent to the earth is declared in this part. The word return means to turn back to again. That we were meant to turn back to God. We were released in the earth to turn back to God. Amen? The word void means this. It's a Hebrew word, and it means empty. Your life is to be void when you return back to God, empty. That what it is sent to do in the earth, that when you return, you're not returning with what you were sent to do. Now, somebody said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Walk with God. He takes care of the rest. As you walk with God, you come in communion with him. You come to this place. Purpose, I promise you, will be released in the earth if you just walk with God. If you just walk in that place, that sacred place, that holy place that seems mundane. But God says, if you just walk with me, you'll release what's in you. Because you have to. When you're walking with God, you're just, wow. Just releasing, hallelujah, out of your life. You can't help but talk about it. You can't help but release it. You can't help but share it. You can't help but bless somebody. You can't help but love somebody. You can't stop but forgiving people or doing whatever. You can't help but do it. All right. Ready? I'm sorry. Let me get that. Sorry. This is it. Void. Your life is void without. Sometimes the backdrop to it, the message is dark, it's cloudy, and it seems painful. Sometimes it's hard to make sense of it sometimes, but it's as easy as walking with God. The Bible says this, I promise you this, the Word says this, it shall accomplish. The word accomplish, to do, to work, to produce that which I've sent it to do. And John, Jesus says this, he was sent to do something, released from heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave a word from him. And when Jesus was on the cross, he says, I'm empty. I'm ready to return. I'm ready, Father. My dad said to me, he says, I've emptied myself. That I knew he was ready to go. I knew he emptied himself out already. He was ready to go back. He says, so let me finish. Get ready. You ready for the song? Let's just sing this last song together as we. He says to finish. The word please means to bend down, to incline to his will. It shall accomplish that which I please. That word please means to bend down, that my will bends down to his will. No longer I that liveth, that Christ lives within me. It is accomplished when I lay it down. Unless a seed goes into the ground and dies, The seed has to die. God gives us one of the greatest things that we can ever have. It's our free will. I believe the Holy Spirit saying, you sure you want to give them that? Because it's really going to delay some things. Because they've got to work some things out. Mm-mm. I want to give them my will. Their free will to choose me. And to accomplish my will in the earth. The word prosper means to prosper, to succeed in reaching its destination. To give birth. Galatians 4:28. You'll have to look it up. The word sent means send with authority, to set apart. The one who is sent is fully authorized to represent the one who sent him. Do you know if the enemy is scared of one thing? For you to come in awareness that you're sent from God, for God. Jesus knew that. I am from God. And I'm going back. I'm going to accomplish what my Father said for me to do. You got it? I don't know what this is. What is it? And we got to see, too, that the Word of God says that He's watching. Say He's watching. The Bible says this in Jeremiah 1:20. He says, I watch that my word be fulfilled. I watch. He says, I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Do you know how valuable you are? Do you know why Jesus was so unfearful of everything around Him? Because He knew who was backing Him. He knew. He walked on water because He knew His Father. He was able to come and disrupt the work of devils. Hallelujah. He was able to cast out sickness and the works of the devil out of people's lives. Why? Because He knew where He came from and He knew here where He was going. He knew that He was a sent word and the Father was watching this word that was given. That you're a word from God. Do you not know and do you not think that you stand on the God's word and you declare unto God back to Him His word? That you hold on to that word with all of your heart? You don't think you know that God watches His word? And He watches you watch His word. He watches you. The enemy will do everything he can, seducing spirits. He says the enemy will cause you to roam from the truth and not to take hold of it, to run from it. Three things, threefold what the enemy tries to do. He tries to assassinate the seed. Purpose to design this in you. He tries to assassinate the seed. He tries to contaminate the seed. That's why washing yourself with the Word of God sanctifies you, washes you from being contaminated. Let me finish. To stifle the creativity and keeping you silent. To stifle your, I shouldn't really say anything. To foster, to frustrate, to bring immaturity, undevelopment in your life. That's what the enemy wants to do. Cause you to be undeveloped, not grown up, not mature. And have you have a narrow conscience, keeping you prejudiced of one another and not respecting the seed in each other. That's how the enemy will stifle it. That's how he stops churches. That's how he comes against churches with that. Make people immature, that the pastor gets to a place to say, I'll just give you what you want. Chips. They say the mega churches right now, that they're seeker friendly. And I'm not against that. Sometimes there's moments where you got to just go in and hide. You want God. There's moments for those. But it comes to a time where, that, guess what? There has to be relationship. It's meant to have relationship. But churches come to a place where they say, what do you want to hear? You don't want to hear what I want to. You want to hear what God says. Let's hear this, go ahead.